Mr. Candle Stories. That always brings a happy thought to people's mind. This is the thought for today. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Mr. Candle Stories. For years now, I have been giving Mr. Candle Stories. At the outset, Mr. Stefan was here, setting up the stage for the Mr. Candle Stories. And he is here once again for the memorable talk today about Mr. Candle Stories. I remember the day when Stefan first came over to the 129 in the Mobile Park down in El Cajon, where we were doing our special recording of Mr. Candle Stories. And he came in every morning. He flew in specially from Switzerland just to be here for the Mr. Candle Talks. And he would come over every morning from his special apartment, and he would set up the stage for the Mr. Candle Stories. He would set up all the speakers and all of the tapes and all of the programs and the microphones. And just before Mr. Candle Story began, he would light the candle. And the candle would be lit, and Mr. Candle Story would be ready to begin. And so I would give 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Mr. Candle Stories based upon anything, based upon where children were with their parents, what sort of relationship children had with their parents, how they got along with them, and how they worked with them, and how the parents were finding the children to be the most beautiful, cooperative youngsters in the entire world. And Mr. Candle would travel around the world visiting boys and girls in their homes just at bedtime. And the parents would be sitting there with the children, and the children would be sitting in bed getting ready to slide under the covers and hear the Mr. Candle Story and then pop off to sleep. The concept was that rapport between children and adults oftentimes is a little bit weak, if not missing. And the reason it's weak or missing is that the parents stop thinking as a child thinks. Children are absolutely brilliant. Children are wise beyond what we give them credit for. But children are still children. Children have the ability to live in fantasy land much more easily than an adult does. An adult looks at fantasy land as a fantasy. And yet the adults are living in fantasy land more than they'll ever admit. When the wife says to the husband, "Well, sweetheart, have a good day at work," he says, "I will." And he said, "Everything will be in perfect order. All the orders will come across my desk in perfect way, and I will make out the forms, and everyone is going to be so happy. It's going to be a wonderful day." And his wife says, "Well, sweetheart, that's pretty good, but how do you know that?" He says, "Because I have spoken my word, and that's what it's going to be." And he says, "I am the creator of my world." And his wife says, "Where'd you get such a interesting idea?" "Well, love, I have been reading I Am Number One. This is a book by Dr. Byerly, and it talks about how we are number one and how we are the creators of our world and how our thoughts bring about the world that we live in." "Hey, can I read that book too?" And he says, "You wait till I'm done, because I am enjoying it so much, and I sit there and I mark pages. In fact, sweetheart, get on the internet and call university-of-healing.edu and order out from their book department the I Am Number One for you. And by the way, order one out for your mom and for your dad too, both. And for my mom and dad too, while we're at it, you know. And while you're doing it, just remember that if there's anybody in this world who you'd like to see get more out of life, order a book for them. But remember, we've only got so much in our budget. Our budget of giving books this year is only $1,000, so don't order more than $1,000 worth of books. So, he goes to work, and at work, he sees all of his co-workers doing their jobs, and he goes to his desk with a smile on his face and a whistle in his heart, and he tootles over there, and he sits down and starts doing his work. And the rest of the staff say, "Hey, you look like a happy guy." And he says, "I am. I've got a wonderful work ahead of me. All of my work is already complete. Everybody likes what I'm doing. I am just a happy guy." "What? When did that happen? Yesterday you weren't feeling so top of it." "Yes, well, I changed my mind. I'm creating my own fantasy. I'm creating my own world. I'm creating my own experiences by putting my name on them, putting my thought on them, putting my ideal on them, and they are so. It is my choice." "Ho, ho, ho. When did you learn that?" "Well, I've been reading a book called I'm Number One, and it is just great. It gave me a lot of good ideas, and I'm still working on it." "Can I see it? Can I see it?" "No. I tell you what I'll do. I'll have my wife order one for you, and then you can read it yourself." "Oh, wow." And so the fantasy goes on. The fantasy goes on about the books. The fantasy goes on about working relationships. The fantasy goes on about the people in the office, going there with a smile and having the people be a smile. Well, now this is the type of thing that children do most naturally. Many adults find it a little difficult. "You gotta be realistic, you know. You gotta know the truth about this stuff. You can't go playing games. This is not a Pollyanna world." Well, the children think it's a Pollyanna world. And for them, it is a Pollyanna world. And for them, in the making up of their ideas, of their ideals, of their direction for what is important to them, they do this out of their fantasy. They sit in the play box, in the sandbox, and they're playing away, having a great time. One of their friends comes over and says, "Can I play with you?" They say, "Sure." And they go right back to play. They don't pay any attention to their friend. They're having fun with their cars, with their world, with their little people. And then their friend says, "Watch out, here I come. I got my truck and I'm driving right over. Be careful, you're going over the street where my people are. Be careful." It's all invisible to you and me. But to them, it's quite visible. "Oh, excuse me, yeah, I see them. Yeah, okay." And they live in this world of fantasy. They live in this world of magic. And it's very real to them. And then, when they transfer the experiences of the sandbox to the sidewalk with their bicycles, they use the same good judgment they learned in the sandbox.
Learn good judgment in the sandbox?
Yeah. They learn to respect each other's roads, each other's trips, each other's walkway, each other's fields. Now, you say, "But that's just kid stuff." That's right. And out of kid stuff is what the world stuff is made. One of the things I teach as I go around the world, I use the song, God Bless America. And this song was changed by one of our young students a long time ago to I Bless America. He says, "If I'm God, then I bless America." And I said, "Hey, that's cool." And then we went to Ghana and we went to Nigeria, and there we spoke before thousands of youngsters. And I looked at these youngsters and I thought to myself, "Hey, Ghana and Nigeria are third world countries. They don't have all the benefits that first world countries have, but they are beautiful. They are beautiful. There's the only thing wrong with Ghana and Nigeria is their idea about themselves. And their idea about themselves, it's the same idea they have in the United States, their idea about themselves is that the government is not doing its job right. Their idea about themselves is that they don't have good roads and good streets and good hospitals and good schools. Their idea about themselves is that the government is trying to skim off all of the benefits that are coming of the oil wells that lie beneath the grounds there. Their idea about themselves is negative." And so, I spoke to the young people and I said, you are the future of your country, but you are the future today. Because you're going to go home and you're going to tell your mommy and your daddy, we live in the greatest country in the world. Nigeria is the greatest country in the world. We have the most beautiful people running our government in the world. Oh, they say, oh, we have the most beautiful, yes. Son, you aren't quite old enough to know yet, but that's not the truth. Mom, Dr. Barley said, that is the truth, and I believe him. He said, whatever thoughts we put in motion, that is what we get into our experience. And he says, Nigeria is a great nation. We have all the wealth in the world lying as a carpet underneath our feet. And all we need to do is to see it being used to the benefit of the people. We have good streets. We have good roads. We have good hospitals. We have good food coming in and all that other good stuff. And we have a wealthy citizenry who have a good education and everything they need. And so, but how are you going to do that, son? How are you going to make that come about? I mean, the Guyanese people are not stupid. The Nigerian people are not stupid. The Guyana in South America, right? They're not stupid either. They're all beautiful. So the boy says, Mom, this is how we're going to do it. And Dr. Alan Jeremini taught us a beautiful song. And the song is, I bless Nigeria, land that I love. I stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from within. From the mountain to the valley to the ocean, white with foam. I bless Nigeria, my home, sweet home. I bless Nigeria, my home, sweet home. And you know, Mom, as we sing that song, we're blessing Nigeria. We're blessing our government. We're blessing the money that comes into this country. We're blessing our educational systems. We're blessing everything, Mom. Everything. But, dear, you can't do that because those are just words. Mom, Dr. Barley said, we are the future today. By our thoughts, tomorrow will be what we think today and what we believe today. But, dear, that's Pollyanna. Dear, that's, you know, Mom, get with it, because Nigeria is on the roll. It's going to be the greatest nation in the world, the garden paradise of the world. People are going to want to come here and visit Nigeria because it's so beautiful, because everything is so magnificent, and we've got so much fascinating things going on in this country, and we're going to make it great. No, we're not. It is great. We're just going to see it. Well, now, the children can see that. And the teachers could see it. And they wrote down the words that we changed to the song. And they wrote them down in classrooms, and they wrote them down at the television studio. They wrote them down in the radio stations. They wrote them down in the churches, and they wrote them down in the schools, the colleges, and the universities that we went to. Everywhere we went to, they wrote it down. They said, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they recognize that this fantasy is a foundation fantasy for their nation being a superior nation, a wonderful nation, a fabulous nation, a good nation. Now, little children are very responsive to these things. Little children come up with that and support such ideas. And that's why the Mr. Candle stories are so beautiful. Because the Mr. Candle stories tell the children about how other children respond with one another, and they have beautiful results. They tell the little children how the boys and girls in strange parts of the world, like the North Pole, New York City, out on the plains, all around the world, even Nigeria and Ghana and Guyana, all around the world. Switzerland? Yeah, Switzerland too. You see, Switzerland may be such a prosperous, wonderful country, but it's filled with garbage. It's filled with garbage because the newspapers are constantly reporting where the government says they're having problems. That's garbage. Now, you, the citizenry of the world, you speak your word that Switzerland is governed by exquisite men and women who seek only the finest and the best for Switzerland. And the Switzerland banking institution is one of the most noble banking institutions in the world, filled with noble money.
Noble directors.
Noble directors. Oh. You see, this is the kid. Ellen Jeremini is my kid today there. And her son is a director of one of the Swiss banks. And so naturally she says, and the director of the Swiss bank too. Well, we also have money invested in some of the Swiss banks. We have money invested in corporations all over the world because God Unlimited University of Healing has our investment program that we use, and it provides us with money to operate it on and bring these teachings to people around the world. It's a wonderful thing. But back to our fantasy. Think how the fantasy is. Think how the fantasy is in your life. I gave a story at the table called Mr. Frog and Mr. Toad. And the story was quite clear. But after the story was over, I had to sit and talk with the people at the table to discuss what it meant, Mr. Frog and Mr. Toad. And the gist of the story of Mr. Frog and Mr. Toad was that Mr. Frog one day decided he was going to go and take a look around the countryside. He lived in a beautiful pond, and he had his family there and everything. And when he came out of the pond, there was a big toad sitting there on the pier, and he said, "Hello, Mr. Toad." And Mr. Toad said, "Rum." And so then he walked away. And he went to visit other places, and finally he found another pond, and it was pretty nice. And so he stayed in that pond, but it wasn't his pond, it wasn't his people, their thoughts were not his thoughts, their actions were not his actions. They were not bad, but they were just frogs of another frog, frogs of another pond. And so he came back home to his pond, and he was going to jump in and be back with his family, and Mr. Toad says, "Just a minute there, Sonny." "Yeah? What do you think you're going to do?" "Well, I'm from this pond. I'm going back." "No, you aren't. You left the pond, and now it's up to you to go and live somewhere else." "But this is my home." "No, it's not." "Hey, Mom!" You know, and Mom looks over. She says, "I don't know that person. He's not in the pond. My sons and daughters are in the pond. But why can't I come back in the pond?" "Because you have been touched by the world. You have different attitudes now. You have attitudes that are different from the attitudes of your own little community here, which we have worked very carefully to maintain in a high balance. You might have some diseases that you picked up, and then you bring them back here to your pond, which is not immune to them. You might have some attitudes that you want to do strange things in your business life and in social life that we're not accepting here." "But that's pretty stinking. That doesn't allow for any growth." "No, it doesn't allow for growth, but it allows for a wonderful family life here. It allows for a wonderful community life. But you have to let people..." "No, we don't. When you can prove that you have not been touched by the outer world, that you have not changed your values from those values you had here in your own home pond, when you can show that your body is pure and perfect and you're not bringing any recalcitrant diseases along with you that might have latched onto you in these other ponds, when you can do that, which you can never do, but if you can do that, then you can come back home. Otherwise, you can never go home again." And this is a story that sounds tough, sounds mean, but it's a very important story for children to learn. Children learn that they have values they have gained in their own home. They have values they gained in their own community, in their own world. And if they violate these values, they're not welcome back in their old world again, because their old world does not support those changed values. But we need to grow and change and do things. Yes, you need to grow and change into a deeper awareness of your spiritual reality. But you don't need to grow and aware in your awareness of your human limitedness, in disease, in limitation, in lack. You don't need to grow in those awarenesses. And those are the awarenesses that you bring back. Hey, Mom, guess what I did? I learned all about rock music. Oh, you did? That's nice, son. You take it somewhere else and play it. Our home is built on another type of music. But Mom, get with it. Get modern. Get, you know, get today. Son, if you want to get today, then you go with a community that is today. Here, we are with the solid awareness of our divinity, our purity, our reality. Now you see, that story is not one that doesn't build friends. It doesn't build instant readership and instant observers. It builds thinking. And America is an open pond for everybody and everything. And America, little by little, is changing its values. The values upon which it was founded and upon which it grew and became such a significant country in the world. And now it's taking on the values of all these other nations, of these people who are moving here and requiring that their cultural melee be brought forth here. Switzerland, it destroyed itself long before, because Switzerland has only slaves in its country. It will not allow the cultural requirements of the Italians and Germans and other people coming there to be influencing them, and yet they are. But this is what they tried to stop. Switzerland was a little frog pond that wanted to remain a pure frog pond. The Germans tried to do this, but every time they would conquer a country, they would bring those people in, and those people would bring their teachings, their ways, and so forth. It never fails. It never fails. When the Spanish conquered South America, they changed the people over from their religion, their philosophy, to the Spanish religious philosophy, and destroyed anyone who didn't want to do it. When Columbus went on the islands of the Caribbean, any of the natives who did not accept Christianity, he killed them. And he killed them by the thousands, because they didn't know what Christianity was, and they didn't know what accepting it was, and they just didn't know. But he thought that they were defying him. And you see, on the islands now, they are pure Christians, if you will. They're Catholics, you know, because anyone who wasn't was destroyed. So you see, even when you go out to other countries, you not only take your own diseases with you. Not that Catholicism is a disease, but it's a philosophy. It's a way of life. You can take your Lutheranism, you can take your various other activities, but anytime you do this, you're going out and you're infecting another part of the world with who you are. And that's not fair to the other part of the world. The other part of the world has a right to its culture too. The United States, that is, the Europeans came in and just destroyed the Indian culture in the United States. This was a country of Indians, and theoretically it should have remained that way. But if it didn't remain that way, the Indians should have been demolished, but they weren't. And now the Indians are fighting back, which is fascinating, because the Indians are becoming like an external culture finally saying that this is their land, and they want to have a voice. Well, great. Do you understand? Mr. Candle's stories have impact, have direction, not only for the children, but for the parents to listen. Do you understand that we do indeed have ponds? And if we don't respect our pond, love our pond, care for our pond, our frogs will mutate and they'll no longer be frogs. Think on these things. If you have a chance, listen to the Mr. Candle tapes. They're on the homepage of God Unlimited University Healing. And you'll find the work that Stefan had done in taping them and preparing them, beautifully laid out. So until next time, I say to you, I love you very much, and I see you being wonderful, fabulous, and great.
Thank you. Thank you. And look where the dogs are.
Okay, love, I think that was good. Tomorrow, I am the doctor.